look at Psalm 62, another thought there this morning. Lord, being our helper. The Lord spoke to my heart about this while I was in Nebraska, and actually I preached this out there on, I believe, Thursday night in Brother Steve, and I want to bring the thought again here in Sunday school hour this morning, and try to be a blessing to us. Nothing, I don't believe, that is anything new that I haven't already said to you, but possibly, you know, reflect our memories and our minds, and keep us aware of what God's done in Iraq. I think that's one of the greatest needs we have, is to remember what God's done, and what He is doing, and what He will do, if we'll let it. God will do great, mighty things. He'll do exceedingly, abundantly above anything that we might ever ask or think, but He does it according to the power that worketh in us. And so I want to read this Psalm 4, the 12 verses of this morning, bring a little thought that I hope will be a blessing to us. David said, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? He shall be slain, all of you, as a burning wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they thirst inwardly. Selah. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work." Now may the Lord add his blessing there this morning to the reading of the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning now for the Word of God that you've given us, for this psalm that's been a blessing to my heart in days past. I thank you, Lord, for the great truth that's there. I pray that you'll revive those truths this morning to my heart and quicken them to my soul, and not mine only, but to the Sunday school class as well. I pray that you'll give us grace and great liberty here this morning. May the Spirit of God have His divine will to glorify the Lord Jesus in our midst. I do pray that Thy Word, Lord, would save sinners, and that it would bless and affect the hearts and lives of your people to Thy glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Fellas, I want to look at a very simple thought in Sunday school this morning that God laid on my heart while we were in Nebraska. And simply look for a moment at some things that are worth waiting for. There are some things in this life that's worth waiting for. And, you know, I'm afraid that so many times we miss the riches that God has for us because we get ahead of God and try to make decisions on our own without really searching the Scriptures and letting the Spirit of God speak to our hearts and give us direction for our life. I've used this illustration, but let me say it, use it again this morning if I may. I'll never forget years ago while I was in Bible college in Greenville. I had already announced my call to go to Arizona and start a Baptist church in Tucson. And by God's help, we accomplished that. It's still there, and I thank God for it. But I'd made my decision to do that, and back then it was real popular for the missionaries to own a van and pull a camper behind it. And about like today, everybody thinks they either need a Greyhound bus or they need a dually with a fifth wheel. You know, if you're going to be a missionary, you got to have that in order to preach it. You know, that was the mindset when I was in Bible college. And so I set out to find myself what I thought I needed. And sure enough, I found a missionary that had come in off the field and had already raised his support, been on the field, was back, or else he had raised it and was getting ready to leave. And he had a van, a nice little old van, and a camping trailer that he had used to raise his money in, raise support. And I felt like that's what I needed. And I tried to use wisdom about it. I began to pray and seek God's face, and I told the brother I'd give him an answer, whether I would buy it or not, in a few days. And I began to seek the mind of God. And I'd done my best to wait patiently upon the Lord for his direction. And, you know, the Lord, after a few days of prayer and studying, I believe it's in the 78th Psalm, I think it is. I was reading through that Psalm in my meditations, and I passed that verse of Scripture where the Lord talking about Israel and how they wanted meat in the wilderness. And he said, I gave them their desire, but he said, I sent leanness unto their soul. And the Lord backed me up to that verse of Scripture, and he said, there's the answer to your prayer. He said, I'll give you your request, but it will cost you leanness to your soul. Well, to say the very least, I called the gentleman and told him I did not want that van nor that camping trailer. And it turned out all for my good and for the glory of God. And I said that, fellas, to say this, if we'll wait upon the Lord, he'll always give us his best. And there are some things in the Word of God that's worth waiting for. Notice in the text, in verse 1, David said there, truly my soul waiteth upon God. And why, Brother David, do you wait upon God? From him cometh my salvation. Not from an angel, not from some prophet, not from a preacher, not from another Christian, not from a friend in the Lord, but from him cometh my salvation. Gentlemen, I tell you, if we'll wait upon the Lord and trust God for the finer things or the more blessed things of life, God will grant them to us. And there are things in life that's worth waiting for. Notice also in verse number 5, he said, my soul, wait thou only upon God. He reiterates that. Only upon God, not another. But only upon God. Why? Why, David? For my expectation is from him, not somebody else. It is God that we expect to do for us. I'm telling you, the greatest sin in Baptist churches today is you and I leaning upon the arm of the flesh and depending upon the power of humanity or human flesh to provide for us. But, gentlemen, if we'll wait on God, and there are things that are worth waiting for, God will always give his best to those that wait upon God for the blessings of life. Now, the occasion of this psalm, and I've used it so many times, I'm not going to elaborate on it, is David fleeing from Jerusalem. He is under the rebellion. He has been brought under the rebellion of Absalom and the conspiracy of his counselor Ahithophel. And he is fleeing from the city of Jerusalem. Now listen carefully. David does not know, gentlemen, how long he's going to be out away from the city of Jerusalem. I've said this before. He left his home. He left the palace where he lived. He also left the place of worship, the house of God. And David does not know for sure how long he'll be deprived of the blessings of that place. But he does have a great hope in God, a great confidence in God, that he shall return unto that place of worship that was dear to the heart of David. Now stay with me. It would benefit you and I also to maintain the same patience as David
in waiting for the Lord to deliver us from the will of our enemies. Gentlemen, may I say that patience is a very beneficial virtue for you and I to maintain today. We don't really have a time to wait on anybody. My God, we can be sitting at a traffic light, and if somebody and the light turns green and somebody in front of us don't move the instant that thing turns green, we're laying on the horn to get them out of the way. There was a egg-sucking 18-wheeler, and I'm not throwing off on you fellas driving 18-wheelers, but there's one of them got on my bumper going to Georgia a few weeks ago, and I'm just being honest that I've been a lost man. That fella's probably been in hell today. If I'd had a little patience, that guy would have been pushing up. He got right on my bumper. He was in such a hurry that he got right on my bumper, and I don't think he was willing, my friend, to go around me. He wanted me to move out of his way, and I really at a couple of times felt like if I didn't move, he was going to move. But the man had absolutely no patience whatsoever. But I tell you, the sin of it is that God's people are just as guilty as what that man was. The Bible said, in your patience possess ye your soul. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews that those Old Testament saints, by faith and patience, inherit the promises of God. Now, I tell you, patience is a very beneficial virtue from God. Fellas, that is why we're called upon to walk through the fiery trials of testing and temptation. That's right. The very first virtue that God instills into us by going, delivering us through trial, is that of patience. Learning to wait upon God. Set still in the fire. Don't be moved. Wait on God. Our expectation is from God. Our salvation is from Him and Him only. Wait upon God for the blessings of life, and God will bring you through it. And there are some things that are worth waiting for. I wanted to use some of these, and our job just wouldn't give me the liberty, but I'm going to tell you something, fellas. The potentate's worth waiting for. He's coming back. May I say to you, the palaces that we're going to inherit's worth waiting on. Amen to God. That's right. God's got them reserved, that inheritance that is reserved, incorruptible and undefiled, is waiting on us. There's some things that are worth waiting on. Notice what Isaiah says about patience. He said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I'm perplexed. I'm confused. It seems like heaven is bright. Well, wait upon the Lord. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Somebody said, Preacher, I'm having a hard time in my Christian life. It just seems like I'm not getting anywhere. Hey, wait upon the Lord. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And may I say to you, my friend, that you may be getting further along in your Christian life than what you think you are. Amen. Christian growth does not come overnight. In fact, I have learned in my 18 years of preaching the gospel, gentlemen, that many times our Christian growth comes unrecognizable by the eye of the one that is growing. But it is recognizable by those around us and by God Almighty. And some of you that think you hadn't gotten too far, maybe further along in grace than what you think you are. Wait on the Lord. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord, brethren. And again I say, wait on the Lord. And there are things in life worth waiting for. In John chapter number 5, a man waited 38 years for the moving of the water. I'm going to tell you something. That fellow had a lot of patience. He laid by that pool of Bethesda, lame on both feet, for 38 years. And look here, not only waiting on the moving of the water, but waiting for someone to move him to the water. That's a long time to wait, fellas. After 37 times of being denied, you would have thought that that man would have just given up hope. But no, sir. He had something that a lot of people don't have today. Patience in waiting on God. Laid at that pool of Bethesda for 38 years for the movement of the water. Somebody said, did it pay off? Is water wet? Bears like honey, cats got climbing gears. You know it paid off. After 38 years, when he couldn't get to the water came to where he was. And let him, amen. And without him getting into the water, my friend, the water of the Word of God came to where he was, added strength to his ankle bones, and give life to that man that had waited patiently on the Lord. I want to say to you and I today, if we'll wait patiently on the Lord, my friend, He is a life-giving God, and there's no doubt that eternal life is ours if we'll be patient and wait upon God to bring it to us. But I want to say to you on the authority of the Word of God, you cannot be saved if you get out of the ship, son. There's something in this thing of perseverance and patience and waiting on God. Somebody said, are you a tulip? No, I'm not a tulip, but I believe in the perseverance of the saints. Yes, sir, buddy, that's right. And they that wait upon the Lord shall never be ashamed of Him. For He will always, my friend, deliver them, for our expectation is from God, hallelujah, and from Him cometh our salvation. Thanks be unto God. Amen. That fellow waited. And waited for 38 years and I can't read my own writing. In Matthew 9, a woman with a blood issue waited for 12 years. She had been plagued with that and spent all the money that she had. Somebody said, why are you giving us these illustrations, gentlemen? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, Bible illustrations is the best illustration you'll ever get to build your faith on. Now, everybody look at me right here for a minute. Some stories from preachers are wonderful to hear. And they might stir your emotions. But they are not worthy of building our faith upon. But I'm going to tell you, the stories in that Bible are worthy of building your faith upon. I've been around some preachers, all they can tell is one story after another story after another story after another story. And folks say, wasn't he a great preacher? Well, he told me a lot of stories in his life. But what I want to hear is stories about his life. This life. Amen to God. Amen. And what the Bible has to say. You can build a life of faith on hearing, my friend. And if that man waited 38 years and that woman waited 12 years, surely to God, you and I can wait on some things from God. There's things in life worth waiting for. You better believe they are. What about in the book of Acts, chapter 2, the disciples waited 10 days for the promise of the Father. The gift of the Holy Ghost, waited 10 days for him in the upper room in prayer and fasting for 10 days, waiting on the promise of the power of God. Now, I'm going to tell you why we don't have the power of God. We're not willing to wait for it. We're not willing to tarry in the presence of God. We've always got something that's tearing at our heart that we deem to be more important than spiritual matters. Oh, I am saved. Preacher, I'm saved, and that's basically all that matters. If I go to church and read my Bible a little and pray a few minutes every now and then, everything will work out hunky-dory. I've got news for you, friend, it won't. The power of God is worth waiting for. Yes, sir, I'm telling you, I have experienced it. You can call it what you want. You can call it the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can call it the filling of the Holy Spirit. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But there is an endowment of power that is denied to most men because they do not have enough patience to wait upon God in His presence for God to endow them with that holy power. Now I want to say you'll never be worth a flip of a used booger until you have it. It gives you power with God and influence with men, friend. And it's worth waiting on. Amen. It's worth waiting. They waited 10 days. I'll tell you, they wasn't disappointed, was they? On that 10th day, a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, cloven tongues of fire, set upon each of those men, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And old Peter stepped out, my friend, in the midst of that crowd that was drunk on the Holy Ghost of God, and for the first time in the New Testament Scriptures, a man preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that raised 3,000 from their spiritual depravity. And I'm telling you what we need today is men that'll wait upon God and get filled up with the Holy Ghost of God and preach the gospel to dying men that they might be resurrected from their spiritual depravity and place of death. Hallelujah to God. I know that's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, I ain't a preacher. Well, you may not be. I'm going to tell you what, don't hurt for laymen to have a little of the power of God on them. It'll give the words of your witness much more oof if you've got the oofer down in your stupor, gentlemen. You got to have the oofer in there. That oil, those ointments, that unction. I'll never forget a book. I've got it in my office. I've read it a humpteen times, Bo Leonard Ravenhill. He ain't a Baptist. But he knew something about the power of God and about sin and what it does to the human nature. He knew about it. And books like America's Too Young to Die, Why Revival Tarries. That book, Why Revival Tarries, one of the chapter headings in it was With All Getting, Get Option. I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. That would be my word for you today with all getting. Get up. Get some oofer down inside your heart, in your soul. Get some fire about you in your spirit. Well, you men don't ain't even learn how to pray with any fire on it. Old Brother Elliot was telling me last night, he said he heard on that tape, was laying on his bed, listening to that old tape of old Dr. Percy Rudd. Had that camp down in Mississippi, and I say for years it was a power camp. I mean, God met with those people. You can't deny that. I've known too many people that's been there. And he said in old Dr. Ray's younger years, that he was a preacher, and I thought he said maybe in Kentucky, he thought. And said he was telling a story, and said some old gentleman said he went to that meeting and said there's an old man there who had a beard all the way down to his belly. He said, now don't laugh about it, said the old man knew God. Now a lot of men today wouldn't let that old man inside the tent, much less up in the church. But they was in a drought and said about the third or fourth night of that meeting, nothing was happening. I mean, it was just dead. And they wasn't predicting rain for a month. And he said, Brother Ray said, that old man one evening in the service just stood up. And he said, preacher. He said, church, he said, our mind is not on God and on deliverance of sinners. Our mind is on rain. So he said, let's meet and pray and get the rain issue settled. Then we can concentrate on God. Hey, fellas, it may be that we've got our minds concentrated on something else. Why we can't concentrate on God enough to get the power of God in our life. Old Brother Ray said, well, he agreed to that and said the next morning, sure enough, here come that old man walking down the road, coming to the meeting house, and said he had a pair of waders around his neck. Sun shining bright, hot enough to scorch eggs, and he's got waders around his neck. And said he's got his little daughter with him. Said she's got a pair of gum boots around her neck. Said as they walked by one of the houses, they heard one of the people said at the house said, hey, old man, what are you doing? He said, getting ready for rain. Said the little girl spoke up and said, yeah, said it's going to rain today around here. And they laughed to scorn the words of that old man and his daughter. But he said that they got to the meeting house and a bunch of men met and said that old man squeezed right up into one of the corners and began to pray and said the longer he prayed, the louder he got. Said, old Brother Ray heard something, said, vroom, vroom. And he said, Lord God, he said, I know it ain't rain. Said, the sun shining. Said, he peeked up, looked out the window, and said, the sun was shining bright. And he said, I knew it wasn't raining. Said, I just hearing that. Said, he prayed a little bit longer and said, the longer that old man prayed, the louder he got. And said, he heard something, boom, boom. He said, he looked up again and said, well, said, I don't know. He said, maybe, I don't know. He said, it sure sounded like thunder. The third time he heard the sound, said he raised up and said, there's the darkest cloud over that place he'd ever seen in his life. And said it wasn't 5 minutes until the rain began to fall. Somebody said, what was they wanting? Look here. They was wanting sinners in the house of God, gentlemen. And they had to deal with the problem at hand to get them back. Deal with what was keeping them from coming to the house of God. Now look here. He said the creek overflowed. Got out into the field. People in the community thought they was going to drown. And that night they was all in the house of God. Hey, look here. One old man had enough grit in his crawl to pray. Somebody said, how is it you pray? I'm going to tell you what the James said. James said we ought to pray like Elijah prayed, gentlemen, with fervency about us. And that means coming to a boiling point, and much less boiling, we're not even lukewarm in our prayer life. Help us. Sinners are dying and going to hell. And we're not willing to wait on God and tarry in the presence of God for a good old dose of the Holy Ghost too, that our word and witness might have influence with the lost and dying world.
Help us. I'm feeling pretty good now.
Now, notice something here. I'm talking about things we're waiting for. Some things worth waiting for. I want to say we ought to wait for our salvation. Now somebody said, preacher, I'm already saved. Notice this, what David says, men. And David was already saved too. But in verse 1, David said, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. Verse number 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. Verse number 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. Verse number 7, in God is my salvation. Now you see, we want to liken the word salvation, look right up here, as simply being delivered from sin and God going to take us to heaven, give us a big piece of the pie by and the sky. But I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. That word salvation is an all-inclusive word. And it takes in the idea or the connotation of being delivered. And not only just delivered, but delivered from all of our enemies. Every one of them. David said, I'm going to wait upon God. For from him cometh my salvation. My hope is in God. I shall not be moved, and I shall not be greatly moved, for God is the rock of my salvation. David is saying that it is God that shall deliver me from all, A-double-L, everyone, all of my enemies.
That's right. My God, I'm going to tell you what, fellas. There's some things we're waiting on. God will deliver you from your enemies. Huh? And by the way, there's a host of them. What about the enemy of sin? Somebody said, God hadn't delivered me from that yet.
Wait on.
Somebody said, well, I've not been able to curve up the limits of my mind. I'm still spinning the thought.
Wait on it.
Somebody said, I'm still prone to wonder.
Wait on it.
Somebody said, well, preacher, I just don't pray like I should or worship like I should.
Wait on it.
He will deliver you. Somebody, hey, when we as God's people cannot, my friend, serve God like we want to, it is because there's an enemy in our life that is hindering us and preventing us from getting the hold of God like we want. But if we'll wait on God, He'll deliver us from all of our enemies. He is the God of our salvation. He'll deliver us from sin.
Hallelujah to God.
There's some of them, by the way, that I think He delivers you from when you get saved.
I know He has delivered us from the power of sin. Now, somebody said, I just can't get over such and such all the way, and that the devil made me do it. No, the devil ain't made you do nothing. The devil cannot make you do a thing, not one thing. The devil cannot make you do anything. Somebody said, why? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, thanks be unto God. I'm glad I've got a greater power living in my bosom than Satan that is doing on the earth and seeking out whom he may devour. Thanks be unto God that the Holy Ghost has sealed us into the day of redemption and has given us a power that sin shall not have dominion over us that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Paul said in the book of Romans, sin shall not have dominion over you. Now somebody said, well, it does me. There's an altar. We don't kill. Now, and I'm as guilty as everybody else. But many things that are contrary to the doctrine you cannot keep birds from flying around your hair, around your lips, because we don't have to let them build a nest in our hair. Come into church on Sunday morning with a big old crow's nest setting up on top of her head. Huh? And eggs in it. I'm going to tell you what now. But now this God give me a thought there. You let the birds build a nest in your head, and lay eggs. And if they lay eggs, they'll hatch. And if they hatch, my friend, you'll have several little birds flying around your hair. I'll tell you, the best policy is to keep them away from there, like Abraham kept them away from the sacrifice. Beat them egg suckers off. Beat that. That's right. Just God get a model Winchester 1300 and blow them away. Now I'm talking about a 1300 King James 1611 Bible. That'll blow them away. Amen to God. From the power of sin. It has delivered us, I know, from the penalty of sin. Huh? But now here's where the rubber meets the road. Will God deliver us from the very pleasures of sin? And there are pleasures of sin for a season, but will God deliver us from that? Like these fellows was telling me in my office this morning, you men heard it. Talking about a fellow in the area that's got a website and on the computer, and you turn that website on, and he takes you into various different phases of that. I don't even know how you turn the things on and stuff, but you go into various phases of that thing, and he's got a rock and roll song that introduces one of them, and an old movie song and introduces another part. Hey, look here. And somebody said, well, I used to work with one of these men and said they would play one of these preaching tapes and then go over here and listen to AC/DC. How can they keep from it? If the man of God says it's all right. If the man of God stands up and says it's all right, what do we expect people to do? They're expected to follow the man of God. Or if they don't, they call a reprobate and a rebel and a heathen. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't follow an egg sucker like that, my friend, to the water fountain. I wouldn't follow him to the bathroom. I'd rather go out and urinate on a tree than follow him to the bathroom. That's right. I wouldn't follow a man like that anywhere. I'm going to tell you the problem. He's never been delivered from the pleasures of sin. Now, I'm here to tell you something, my friend. If you find joy and pleasure in sin, you have got a deep problem somewhere down in your bosom. If you delight in rock and roll music, son, you've got a problem. If you still delight in country and western music, you've got a problem. If you delight in music, sin and blues and adultery and fornication, you've got a problem. Better believe you have. I'm going to tell you what, friend, that word sin is rebellion against the authority of God and against the commandments of God, and no faith preacher can rebel against that and continue there again. Very long. God take you out early to an early grave. In God is my salvation. I shall not be moved. He is the rock of my salvation. What? He will deliver me. Hey, David was confident that God would deliver him from Absalom, from Ahithophel, and bring him back to the palace and the house of God. And he did those things worth waiting for.
Amen. Right. That's right.
I want to say this, praise his wonderful name. That there is coming a day. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore. Oh, on that happy golden shore. And what a day, a wonderful day that will be. So I said, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, there's coming a day that he will deliver us from the very presence of sin in our lives. Hallelujah to God. Son, what a wonderful day. We can get away from this ungodly sodomite crowd that's in our country today. And we can get away from these political sodomite lovers and these whoremongers, my friend, that's filling our land, and these baby killers and abortionists that's destroying our land. Thanks be unto the day. With all these God haters and church haters, that we'll be delivered, my friend, from their presence, glory to God. I'm sick of it. Bunch of baby-killing devils and sodomite-loving devils. Son, I'm fed up that mess. Don't want to put the Word of God in school. Don't want the Word of God in the courthouses. Don't want the Word of God. That's right. And I read a little article from the ACLU guy wrote in the paper yesterday. He said, where are the folks expressing their religious rights? That if you go somewhere and they won't let you express yours, then just call us and we'll defend you. And he's already filed lawsuits because people want to display their religious preference. Hypocrite, two-faced, egg-sucking, God-hating, church-hating, sin-hating, egg-sucker that does not love God and will do everything they can to destroy God. Somebody said, oh, you got to love them. Concerning the faith. They ain't a going to glory. That's right. Somebody said, how do you know that? Friend, I'm going to tell you what. I've been serving God a while, and there's a line of man to cross over. There's a line of man to cross over. And John said, when they cross over that line, somebody said, we don't know it, then why did John tell us not to pray for them? If we can't know it, why did John say don't pray for them? I ain't a praying for that crowd. They ain't no need of praying for that crowd. Like casting your prayer before swine, they'll turn on you and trample you and rend you asunder. Better believe that's right. I'm getting away from my prayer. What about from the not only our enemy of sin, what about our enemy of Satan? Revelation 20:10 says that Satan was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet have already been for 1,000 years. Now, I'm going to tell you, the accuser of the brethren is getting ready to fry in hell. Yeah. Somebody said, are you glad? Oh, yes, I'm thrilled in my soul. Yeah. Praise God that the devil that is blood to the eyes. Yeah. Oh, yes, my friend, yeah. That deceived the hearts of millions. The accuser of the brethren. Brother Hall, will we sit? Wait on the Lord, and you will see, my friend, how he delivers us from the power of Satan. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to say the last enemy to be destroyed, according to the book of Corinthians, is death. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God that Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something to you, y'all need to pray for Brother Hall. I'm not looking for your sympathy, but I've got a few physical problems that I need your prayer. And I'm being honest, one of them is that I don't think right no more. I do this all the time now, I'm just telling you. But I got out in the kitchen and fixed the coffee, put my herbs, got Miss Hall's order for cat people, put the knife away from it. Got my coffee, went in, got to study, and Miss Hall come walking in the room a little bit and said, with her cappuccino, and said, did you get some? I walked off and left your water sitting in the microwave. 2 minutes later, I come out and got my coffee. Put my quit hugging her neck and walked in, sat back down, and when I sat down, I realized I forgot my coffee. I just sat down outside. Hard for me to remember sometimes things folks up. I need your prayer. But I'm saying, somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, this body of the dead. This body of the dead. But oh, my friend. And what an enemy of death it is. I got a letter the other day over from your old brother. Uncle Mel. May already be dead. Now, right here, I'm just talking about the old man proved up. But if you're going out to meet God, give him 3 weeks to live on over into the temple. And I got a letter from his wife from Aunt Goddard. She said in that letter, said, pray for Uncle Mel. Said he said the hardest thing that he's ever had to do is lay and pray on him. It's an enemy, gentlemen. You hear my hand there? But in God is my salvation. God will deliver us from all of that. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Oh, my soul, there's coming a day when death and hell shall be passed into our lake of fire. And our old arch enemy, death, will hold us no more. And this immortal will put on immortality and life and will be caught up into the presence of God. Hallelujah! Wonderful. May I say some things we're waiting on. Salvation is worth waiting on. May I say, secondly, that our transportation is worth waiting on. I'm talking about a life no airplane. Son, ain't going to be no beam me up Scotty either. Praise God, we await. That's right. We are waiting on the Lord. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for His Son from heaven. That is my train. No. He is my transportation. Woo! From this world into another. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, I read in the paper the other day, and they said one of these spaceships they sent up was up in orbit in some moon. It wasn't our moon, it's another moon. Moon in one of the galaxies or something. Jupiter's moon or something. I don't know what it was. It's a long ways away from here. They said that thing, when it sent a signal back to the earth, it takes 36 hours. That's a long way, brother. Sound travels what? Travels fast. Travels real fast. That's a long way. Said it might, and it couldn't get no closer to one of the planets than 286,000 miles. Said it had lava on it. Volcanoes. They said it had lava and volcanoes on it. Much like the one that was held to Earth 5 billion years ago. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When our transportation shows up, we're going to take a flight with that airplane. And suddenly it'll sail by the Jupiter, the sun, the moon, daylight. Hallelujah to God. Woo! In the right presence of God, when He delivers us from our sin, that we are transformation is worth waiting on. For the Lord Himself, yeah, the sinner from the dead, when the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, and the first, then we which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Then I want to say, in closing, some things worth waiting for. Salvation is worth waiting for. Deliverance from our enemies. But also, our transportation is worth waiting for. And I want to say our transformation is worth waiting for. Friend, we're going to be transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. We shall be changed. Brother Paul said, and this corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. And death shall be swallowed up in life. Praise be on His wonderful name. I'm going to tell you what old brother Job said. Job said, oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret till thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I'm waiting on change, man. I'm getting ready to shut this body. Like old Solomon P. said on his tombstone, our transformation is worth waiting on. He saw no corruption, that He might restore us from corruption. Woo! Bless His wonderful name. And it's worth waiting on. Can you imagine a body that can walk through that wall back there? Can you imagine a pure, glorified, holy mind in the state of perfection? Huh? Can you imagine a body that don't ache, crack? Can you imagine a mouth full of full set of teeth? Can you imagine a head full of wavy black hair? Whoop! Whoop! Can you imagine muscles buzz? There's some things we're waiting for. David said, I waited patiently on the Lord. Fellas, there's some things in this life that's worth waiting on.